That's one of the great hymns. Thank the Lord for that. Would you turn back to Luke chapter 17? Our subject for this evening is forgiveness. We're going to consider the Lord's forgiveness and our forgiveness. Forgiveness. The Lord said in verse 3, and this is an unusual way to introduce this subject, He says, take heed to yourselves. He doesn't say watch out for your brother, what he might do to you. He says, take heed to yourselves. You're the one in danger. Take heed to yourselves when your brother trespasses against you. Now, you may become bitter, and you may become resentful, and you may hold a grudge, or you may wallow in self-pity, or you may be overcome by hurt feelings, or a sullen indignation at being wronged the way you feel you've been. And you don't really deserve to be treated that way, and you may just develop a bitter attitude. That's why He says, take heed to yourselves when your brother trespasses against you. Now look what He says next. He says, rebuke him. Now, how do we rebuke? Rebuke in such a way as would promote goodwill. You know, the Scripture says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Rebuke in a way that will cause somebody to say, I'm sorry. I wish I hadn't have done that. Don't rebuke in an angry way. You shouldn't have done me this way. That's not going to do anybody any good. That's only going to make people mad. But you rebuke in such a way as will provoke this feeling of goodwill. And then the Lord says, if he repents, forgive him. And this is a command. This is not optional. If he repents, forgive him. It's a command to be obeyed immediately. Not tomorrow, but right now. If he repents, forgive him. And then he says in verse 4, and if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day. That's a lot. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day. And 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. I think this is what led the apostles to say in verse 5, when the apostles heard this, they said unto the Lord, increase our faith. We need an increase of faith to be able to conduct ourselves in that manner. Now, with regard to forgiveness, most things don't need to be forgiven. They need to be overlooked. You believe that? Most things don't need to be forgiven. They just need to be overlooked. Somebody treated you unfriendly or something of that nature, and you don't know what they were going through. Maybe they ignored you, but what were they going through? Just overlook it. Overlook it. Somebody slighted you, just overlook it. You have no idea what they were going through. Most things simply need to be overlooked. If I am easily offended, that's a character flaw on my part. Things ought to simply be overlooked for the most part, but there are things that can't just be overlooked. You can be maligned. You can be betrayed. You can be humiliated. You can be abused. You think of the abuse some people have suffered from others that was completely outside of their control. You can be cheated on. You can be falsely accused. You can be thrown under the bus. You can be misrepresented. Unfortunately, all this is a part of life, isn't it? It's something we're all going to experience all the time. And not only will these things happen to you, you're going to do these things to people. You're going to treat them wrong. You're going to misrepresent them. you're going to mistreat them. It's called life, isn't it? Some people have had people horribly abuse them and mess up their lives completely in some ways that they might not ever get over. Well, what are they to do? Forgive. Forgive. Now, how important is this thing of forgiveness? How important is it for me to forgive? Well, how important is it for you to be forgiven? That's how important this subject is. How important is it for you to be forgiven? Now, I desperately need to have my sins forgiven. I need God, for Christ's sake, to forgive me of all my sins. Would you turn back a few pages to Mark chapter 11? Mark chapter 11. Now, this subject is a subject that I cannot emphasize the importance enough of this subject. Verse 25 of Mark chapter 11. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, forgive them while you're standing there praying. Don't continue to pray if you're not forgiving. When you stand to pray, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, that's said two or three times in the New Testament. That blows in our minds, doesn't it? I mean, when I read that passage of Scripture, I think, man, that almost sounds like works, but you know it's not. I know that I will be forgiven as I forgive. The Lord taught us to pray that. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So how important is this subject to us? Well, how important is being forgiven? That's a subject of infinite importance. I need the forgiveness of sins. How important is this? Well, this is what God's elect do. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now listen to this statement very carefully. The most godlike, the most Christ-like thing me or you can do to anybody is to forgive them. I want you to think about that. The most Christ-like, the most godlike thing me or you can ever do is to truly forgive someone. The wise man said, the discretion of a man deferreth anger, and it's his glory to pass over a transgression. Did you hear that? It's a man's glory. It's what makes him like the Lord, to pass over a transgression. And the biggest thing that you and I can ever do is to forgive. And that person who will not forgive, number one, will not be forgiven. And number two, is a very little person, a very small person. It's the glory of a man to pass over a transgression. Now, every believer is a sinner. Every believer is a forgiven sinner. And every believer is a forgiving sinner. Now, what is the gospel all about? The gospel. The message of this book. What's it all about? Well, my first answer is the glory of God. That's what the gospel is all about. the glory of God. God does all things for His own glory. Now, I'm thankful we benefit from that, but God does what He does for His glory. If He saves you, He does it for His glory. If He passes you by, if He passes me by and lets us go to hell, it's to the praise of the glory of His justice. You see, whatever God does, He does for His glory. And we like it that way, don't we? We wouldn't want it to be any other way. That's who God is. He operates according to His own glory. But the second word that comes to my mind after I first think of the glory of God or the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think of the forgiveness of sins. Now, here's something that I must have. This is something that I must have. The forgiveness of sins. And somehow, His glory is connected with Him forgiving our sins. What did He say from the cross? What were His first words from the cross? There's seven sayings. What was the first? Father, forgive them. And beloved, when He said to the Father, forgive them, you can count on this. Everybody He prayed for was forgiven. That wasn't some generic prayer. He's speaking as equal with the Father. He wasn't asking God to do Him a favor. Father, forgive them. And everybody He prayed for was forgiven. Now, forgiveness is how God identifies Himself. In Exodus chapter 34, we read, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sins, and will by no means clear the guilty. Now, that's the very nature of God. He will not clear the guilty, and yet He forgives iniquity and transgression and sins. That's the very glory of the gospel, how God has made a way to be just. All sin is punished, and yet to forgive iniquity and transgression and sins. I'm interested in this. I want to know something about forgiveness, and I want to know that my sins are forgiven. Let me read you a passage of Scripture from Micah. If you can turn there, go ahead. It might take you a while to find it, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. If you want to just listen. It's right before Nahum. But the prophet Micah said, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? That's who He is. He pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage. He retaineth not His anger forever because He delighteth in mercy. God delights in mercy. That's who He is. Now, I would like for us, for just a few moments, to consider God's forgiveness. Because we can't understand anything about forgiving anyone unless we understand God's forgiveness. Now, who makes this command? If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if you repent, forgive him. Who makes this command? Now, it's the character of the one who makes the statement that puts the authority behind what is said. Isn't that so? If a man got up and said, I want to deal with, from the Scriptures, aging gracefully. Well, I want to age gracefully, don't you? But if a man said, I want to deal from the Scriptures with aging gracefully, and he gives all the right information from the Bible about aging gracefully, it would be good, but what if the man was only 21 years old who gave this message? It really wouldn't mean much, would it? I mean, he could give what the Scripture says, but when you'd listen to him, you'd think, what do you know about this? You know very little about this. 21 years old, talking about learning to trust the Lord in your old age, learning to trust the Lord for all you need and all your infirmities and so on. And if a guy was 21 years old, you say, man, you know, everything he said was true. But what if a man 75 or 80 years old got up and preached the same message? It'd be a little bit different, wouldn't it? Be a little bit different. Now, the one who makes this command is the one who has forgiven infinitely more than me or you know anything about. Oh, how He has forgiven. He's been sinned against infinitely more than you or I have. Here, the great practitioner of forgiveness gives us this command. The one who has forgiven, who has forgiven more than any of us can ever even imagine. He's the one who says, forgive. Now I repeat, it's the very nature and character of God to forgive. When that prodigal was coming back, and he had thought about how he was going to approach his father. Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he's coming back to his father, rehearsing everything he's going to say. You know, he didn't know his father had already forgiven him. You see, salvation begins with the complete, full, free forgiveness of sins. You're not forgiven because of something you do. You're not forgiven even because you ask to be forgiven. Salvation begins. This is where my salvation begins. With the complete putting away of my sin. They're gone, they're gone, they're gone for Christ's sake. There are no limitations to His forgiveness. Our salvation begins with the forgiveness of sins, and it's not because we did this and this and this and this, therefore we have forgiveness. No, God forgives. He forgives for Christ's sake. He doesn't forgive for your sake or my sake or because we asked to. He does it for Christ's sake. Be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, that's music to my ears. There's nothing I do to get this forgiveness. He gives it to me for Christ's sake. And there are no limitations to be put upon His forgiveness. He continues to forgive. Now, how many times do you commit the same sin over and over and over? And I could say, and over and over and over a whole lot of times, couldn't I? The same sin. It could be that even while you're confessing that sin and asking the Lord to forgive you of it, you know in your heart that tomorrow you'll commit it again. How horrible, how evil, how does God continue to forgive sin like that? Well, it's because of who He is. He forgives sin. It's for His glory. You see, He forgave us because He justified us. And really, if I'm justified, it's easy to forgive because all my sins have been put away. And I have a perfect righteousness before God. He forgives me because I've been justified. He justified me. It's God that justifies. He didn't offer me justification. When Christ died on Calvary's tree, this sinner was justified. This sinner, all my sin was put away. So He forgives me. He continues to forgive because the grounds of forgiveness is always the same. It's always this. When I see the blood. That's why I love that hymn you just sang. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? nothing but the blood of Jesus. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is always fresh and powerful and poignant before God. And His reason for forgiveness is always the same. It's not because you were sorry. It's not because you tried not to do it and tried to spit. No! His reason for forgiveness is the blood. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's always, always the ground of forgiveness. He continues to forgive our sins because they've already been forgiven. You see, there was a time when all my sins were future sins that I'd not yet committed. And they were forgiven by Christ, by God, before I was even born. And all my sins, the sins of tomorrow, the sins right before I die, they've already been forgiven. There's pardon for the sins of past. It matters not how black they're cast. And oh, my soul, with wonder view, for sins to come, here's pardon too. He continues to forgive because of the intercession of Christ. Brethren, these things write I unto you that you sin not. I love that command. There is never an excuse for sin at any time. These things write I unto you that you sin not when you do. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm always forgiven because of the intercession of Christ. Romans 8:31 says, and we know that all things, or who shall lay, what's it say? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall they not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God justified Him. Who is He to condemn? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. For Christ's sake is the only reason He needs. It's the only reason He has, isn't it? But isn't it sufficient? Now, how complete is His forgiveness? Well, David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. We read in Colossians 2:13, having forgiven you all trespasses. And He forgives in such a way that those sins are not even remembered. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now, that is a very difficult thing to get a hold of. How He can... God's got a good memory. Matter of fact, He's got a perfect memory. And yet He says, with regarding my sins, they're never going to be brought up. They're never going to be brought up. Not only are they not going to be brought up, they're not going to be brought up because there's nothing there to bring up. That's how much the blood of Christ has actually put away my sin, so that God can say, regarding my sin, their sins and their iniquities, I will remember no more. And He forgives faithfully and justly. There's nothing unjust about this. You know, if a judge just up and forgave some criminal and put him back out on the streets, that'd be wrong, wouldn't it? But the Scripture says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He's faithful because He'd already determined He was going to do it. And He does it in a way that magnifies His justice through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That sin was punished in Christ. And God's justice is magnified. Now, with regard to this thing of forgiveness, interestingly, the Greek word for forgive is translated several other ways in the New Testament that shows us just what this means. Remember when Simon Peter's mother was sick with a fever. And the Lord came into her house, and the scripture says he rebuked the fever, and the fever left her. That's the same word as forgive. The fever left her. It was plumb gone. It's not like she went from 105 degrees to a more manageable 100 degrees and she could get up and got to help him out. No, it completely left her. It was no longer an issue. She got up and served him. It left her. Now, when I forgive somebody, that means I leave the sin that I'm offended by. It's no longer an issue. It's gone. I've left it. I'm not holding on to it. It's also translated forsake. The disciples forsook all. That's the same word, forgive. The disciples forsook all and followed him. Now, when you forgive somebody, you leave, you forsake the way you were wronged, and it's no longer an issue or a barrier. They're not to be punished for their sin. They're not to be put on probation. There's complete reconciliation, complete embracing. Now, that's what happens when you forgive somebody. Truly, who is a God like unto him? That's the way he forgives. When he forgives, he doesn't put me on probation. He doesn't wait and see how I do. There's complete, full restoration and reconciliation. Now, when we think of how we have been forgiven, and may I add, forgiven much. Remember that scripture that says, he that's been forgiven much, loveth much. Forgiven much, I don't even know how to say it enough. But every second that I've ever lived, I've sinned. Every second. I really believe that. I believe that about myself. I've been forgiven much. And you know, when you see how freely and completely the Lord has forgiven you, it's not hard to forgive somebody else, is it? Not when you see the Lord's forgiveness of you. Now, if I'm remaining bitter and angry over the way I've been wronged, I'm obviously not thinking of the Lord's forgiveness. Because if I see how freely He's forgiven me, I'm going to be able to forgive others. It's actually something we'll enjoy doing. Now turn to Matthew chapter 17. Let's end with this great parable of forgiveness. Somebody may be thinking, well, do we have to forgive if they don't repent? Do we have to forgive if they never apologize? Well, did the people, when the Lord said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, had they apologized for that? No. No. The Lord forgave them anyway. And you and I are commanded to forgive. Now look at Matthew chapter 17, beginning in Matthew 18. Verse 21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive it? Till seven times? And I think Peter felt very magnanimous when he said this. Seven times? I mean, isn't that a gracious... He felt good about it. And you know, there is a scripture in Amos that says, three times I'll forgive you, fourth I won't. It says that several times in the first chapter of Amos. And I don't know what all that means, but I do know this, that the Jews actually thought, well, three times is enough. And Peter was thinking, I'm going way beyond that. Seven. And I'm sure he felt very good about himself in making this statement. Verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Now, you know that doesn't mean after 491, it's okay to not forgive. That means all the time. Completely. All the time. And then he gives this parable. Therefore, verse 23, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And my dear friends, the Lord's going to take account of me and you. And he's going to deal with us the way we come. We come needing nothing but grace. He'll deal with us that way. We come demanding certain rights that we've achieved. He'll meet us on that ground if we want. It's not a good ground to meet him on, I can tell you that right now. Verse 24. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him that owed him 10,000 talents. Now, that figure is millions and millions of dollars. There's different, I've heard anywhere between 10 and $100 million. It was a figure that he could not pay back. It was totally impossible for this man to pay this back. Verse 25, but for as much as he had not to pay, he didn't have a nickel. He owed $10 million. He didn't have a nickel. He had absolutely nothing to pay this back with. Not a thing. And beloved, that's me and you. We don't have a penny's worth of merit. There isn't one thing we could pay God for the debt we owe. Not one thing. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. Well, I'm going to get what I can out of him. Sell him as a slave, his wife, his children. He hadn't had anything to pay. Verse 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. Now, how do you think his Lord felt at this time when he heard that? He didn't have anything to pay. He didn't have a penny. And this is a lie. He says, have patience with me, and I'll pay every bit of it back. He was completely incapable of doing this. But look how the Lord responded. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him, set him free, and forgave him all the debt. Now, is that the gospel? This compassion that the Lord had toward this man was not because of the way the man apologized. The man was actually being a hypocrite. He was lying. There's no way he could pay this back. He was just trying to stay out of jail. But the master was moved with compassion because that's who he is. And he set him free. And he forgave him of all that debt. What a glorious master he is. Verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, $15. $15. He'd just been forgiven at least 10 million. And now somebody owes him $15. I got a lot more than $15 in my wallet. I'm not going to tell you how much I got in, but I got more than 15. And $15 is easy to come up with. Any kid in this room could come up with $15. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, $15. And he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He could come up with that 100 pence. Give me some time. You'll get it back. And he would have. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. you and I would see this kind of conduct, it'd make us sorry too. They were very sorry. And they came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and he delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Now, Christ commands us to forgive. And to forgive right now. This is not an option. This is a command. Now, if we do not, the Lord says we will not be forgiven. Now, you can twist in your mind whatever that means. I mean, it's a scary verse of Scripture. But the Lord says, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you your trespasses. Now, I'm not forgiven because I forgive. I forgive because I've been forgiven. That is why. And forgiveness. I've already touched on this, but forgiveness is the most godlike thing me or you can do. To truly from our hearts forgive somebody. Completely forgive them. And leave it. And forsake it. It never happened. For me to fail to forgive is for me to practice hypocrisy, isn't it? Because I sure want the Lord to forgive me. But if I fail to forgive someone, I'm practicing grotesque hypocrisy. Well, you don't know what that person's done to me. Well, I know this. What you and I have done to the Lord is a whole lot worse than what those people have done to you. You believe that? It's so. And I cringe to think of how some people have been horribly abused. Much more so than I've ever experienced. But still, the call of Christ is to forgive as you have been forgiven. And you know what? We'll just be a whole lot happier people if we forgive. You go around walking with a grudge and bitterness and anger and resentment about the way you've been treated. That's such a waste of time. If the Lord gives me grace to just forgive, I'm going to be a whole lot happier of a person, aren't I? To fail to forgive is to give Satan the advantage, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul said that gives Satan the advantage. When we fail to forgive somebody in our life, we're opening up the door for Satan. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, I've already quoted this, but let's look at it together, and this is what we'll close with. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, in the precise same manner as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now for Christ's sake, that has power with a believer. For Christ's sake. Oh my. I repeat this phrase once again. Every believer is a sinner. Don't you know that's so? A sinner. That means an evil person. That means a lawbreaker. Every one of the Ten Commandments, me and you break all the time. And if we think we keep them any, all we prove is how ignorant we are of the holy law of God and how ignorant we are of ourselves. Every believer is a sinner. But bless God, every believer is a forgiven sinner. God has forgiven all my sins for Christ's sake. And the only way I'm to think of my sins is as forgiven sins. Every one of them. I'm to think of my sins as forgiven sins. I'm not allowed to think of them any other way. And every believer is a forgiving sinner. May God enable me and you to follow our Redeemer in this thing of forgiveness. It's such an important issue. Let's pray.